Welcome to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. You know, one of the many grisly chapters of man's inhumanity to man throughout the centuries was the Spanish Inquisition of the 15th and 16th centuries. I guess it went on longer than that, but it mainly started in the late 1400s. In the Spanish monarchy, the same Ferdinand and Isabella who sent Columbus on his voyage of discovery, decided that Catholic Spain and its colonies had to be cleansed of heretics. So they decreed that all recent Jewish and Muslim converts to Catholicism, whose sincerity in their conversion was questioned by neighbors, or basically by anybody who had it in for them, could be imprisoned and hauled before a tribunal for interrogation, which usually meant torture. Thousands died or were executed. When the monarchs also decreed that all Jews in Spain had to convert or be executed, many of the Jews immigrated to other countries. Those who stayed and converted did their best to blend in to save their lives. And soon their descendants lost their memory of their Jewish roots and practices. But in recent years, many of them have discovered those roots, centuries later, right? To their amazement, a documentary film, Children of the Inquisition, has been produced about them and is making the rounds of film festivals. With us to talk about it is Hilary Klotz-Steinman, one of the producers of the film. Welcome, Hilary.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Nice to have you on. So first, did I more or less describe the Inquisition and the origins of this story in that thumbnail version correctly?
I think you did an amazing job. It's a complicated period of history, and you boiled it down to its perfect essence.
Well, good. That's what we're here for, boiling everything down to half an hour. So let's plunge in and try to do that. So what led to the idea for this film?
Well, the director, Joe Lovett, had been thinking about this film since he was 13 years old and became a bar mitzvah. His rabbi had talked about going to Spain in the 1950s and trying to find out about the Spanish Inquisition. And everyone there he encountered said to them, oh, no, totus catholicus. We've always all been Catholic. Totally denying the Jewish history prior to the expulsion of the Jews in 1492 and the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition. And so Joe had been wanting to do this film his whole life. And after a very long and illustrious career producing documentaries for networks, he sort of began this passion project and worked on it on and off for years. And when he finally decided, I've got to finish this film, he brought me on as a producer to do the bulk of the filming. And the second he asked me, I said yes, because at one point my parents were going to retire to Santa Fe. And my dad learned about the crypto Jews of the Southwest and told me all about it. And I thought it was ludicrous. It made no sense. Secret Jews from Mexico who lived in the Southwest. I didn't understand any of the history of Sephardic history, of the paths of migration, of the ripples of the Inquisition through centuries, through time. And then my father sent me, in another lifetime, he might have been a history professor, and he sent me a ream of papers from Harvard all about the crypto Jews of China, who people had always thought were Muslims, but turned out to be Sephardic Jews who had come to China, Western China, through the Silk Route, the same path that Muslims came. And so the only difference was that the hats they wore, you know, the Muslims wore white hats, and it turned out the Jews wore blue hats, and they were referred to as the blue hats. So this was all sort of in my mind through my own family history and my own sisters who always said we were Sephardic Jews. And I would always say, we're just poor shtetl Jews from Poland. Get over it. We don't, our family lineage doesn't trace back to the golden age of Spain with the convivencia and the Jews, Muslims, and Christians all learning and studying together and this glorious age of discovery and poetry and science. And I'd say, get over it. And so I sort of had all those little threads in my past, and I wanted to sort of do something that connected to my father after he passed away. So when Joe approached me, I said, count me in.
Okay, so that was a circuitous path to get to the film for both you and him. And so I'm curious, when you went to Spain and interviewed these people who were denying or oblivious of the fact that they had any Jewish ancestry in them, how did he know about them, kind of just briefly? I mean, how did he know to get to them if they didn't know it themselves? Was it something through Ancestry.com, or what was the connection that led him to them originally, just kind of briefly?
Well, the denial was really early on, prior to Vatican II. That was what Joe's rabbi discovered in the 1950s. But, in the years past, there's been great scholarship coming out. And, you know, the field of Sephardic studies has really been developed with Jane Gerber at NYU. She's now retired, but all these wonderful historians and academics. And there's a whole field now of crypto-Judaic studies that's come out. And what really launched us much further along on this project are people who have been researching their own family history, both with the aid of DNA, but also with archives being digitized and opening. And one of them is Doreen Carvajal, who was a journalist for the New York Times, who was sent to Paris to cover the culture beat for the New York Times. And when she got there, everyone said, oh, Carvajal, that's an ancient Sephardic name. And she kept saying, no, I'm Catholic. My family's from Costa Rica. And after the 10th person said it, she said, oh, there must be something to it. And she started doing the research in the Spanish archives and discovered this amazing history that stretched all the way back 500 years through documents to the Spanish Inquisition, to Segovia, to literally Torquemada, the grand inquisitor persecuting her ancestor, who was the bishop of Segovia, who had rose to this high position, but whose family had been conversos. So it was through people like Doreen, who had researched her own story, that we started to get access to these personal stories. And then when we went with Spain to film with Doreen, we were really excited because we could allow her access to things that she had never known before about her family. We brought her to the National Archive in Madrid, where they took out the documents of the Inquisition. And we actually were allowed to touch them, and you could read these depositions against her family that were in such minute detail that it made you feel like you were there with them, because it talked about what they ate and what they dressed and who they talked to and where they went and what songs they went, all to prove that they were secretly practicing Judaism, called Judaizing. And so it was through our collaboration with our storytellers that we were able to produce the story.
Wow, that is kind of a story within the story then. So, you know, in the end, though, in the film, none of the people interviewed in the film are living in Spain, although there are, as you are describing, there are many descendants who still do. So this is like another chapter in the diaspora. I mean, I think of the Jewish people sometimes as being like, I don't know, like dandelions who they blow in the wind and end up all over the world because of the kind of thing we're describing here that has happened so often in the history of the Jewish people. And so they are kind of seeded all around the world. And these people rediscovering their roots here are spread around the world, as the people in your film are. But I think that those who chose to leave Spain back then did it in part so that they could retain their religion, right? I mean, not just that they were fleeing execution, but they wanted to actually be able to practice their religion in the open as they always had. I assume that was the driver.
You know, after Jews converted, either because there was fear of death or because for advantage to get ahead in society, by becoming a converso, a lot of people led dual lives. They were outwardly Catholic, but inwardly Jewish. And that was very dangerous, because you could be a heretic and you could be burned at the stake. So the difficulty of doing that was great, the emotional strain. And so a lot of times people would travel to places that weren't that exciting, like the New World, like Brazil. Countries where the living was tough, but where there was an opportunity to practice their religion more freely, even if they were still outwardly Catholic. And then, of course, there were the Jews in 1492 who left, who chose their Jewish identity above all else and went to Portugal, and then were later expelled there during the Portuguese Inquisition, and went across the Mediterranean and around the world. And that's how you wound up with Jews in the Ottoman Empire, with Sephardic Jews who lived there peacefully, really, until the 20th century. So there's a whole world of hidden history. And once you start to realize, for example, that Portuguese traders around the world, whether it's Macau or Brazil or the Caribbean, those roots tend to be Sephardic roots. And if you look at the names, the Spanish and Portuguese names, conversos took very specific names, and those names populate the names of people of Portuguese and Spanish heritage around the New World. Once you start connecting the dots, you realize that Sephardic Jews really spread out around the globe. The paths of migration are everywhere.
You know, we should probably describe, for those who don't know, that there are two, I don't know the term exactly, but I guess subdivisions of the Jewish people. And one is the Ashkenazi Jews, who were in mainly in Western Europe. And then you're using the term Sephardic Jews, which is, they're Jewish, but somewhat different in some ways, and I'm not sure what, but they were more like Southern European, maybe North African, you know, so more tropical in a way. But you're talking here, the ones in Spain were mainly Sephardic Jews, I guess. But we also mentioned, I said at the beginning, that the Inquisition was aimed partly at Jewish people and also at Muslim converts to Catholicism. And I think the film focuses mainly on the Jewish descendants of those converts. So why is that? Was it just that there were many more of them than there were Muslim descendants, or how did that work?
Well, the history of the Inquisition is complicated, but by the time that Ferdinand and Isabel marry and unify Spain and become the Catholic monarchs, the Moriscos, there were a lot of Moriscos, which were the Muslims who had already converted to Catholicism, and they were not targeted. And the Muslim population, there had been reverse migration back to North Africa and so on and so forth. But the Jews were, the Sephardic Jews were really targeted because of the rise of anti-Semitism coming from Western Europe, and that very much infiltrated Spain. And it was really the Jews who were believed to have killed Christ. So that was really the main thread. And there were a lot of theories of the time, like blood libel, that Jews were drinking the blood of Catholic children and all sorts of insane things that really had a profound impact on the level of anti-Semitism in Spain at that time.
So how much does the film focus on the Inquisition itself? I mean, my impression is that it focuses more on the modern day people that you interview in the film, the children of the Inquisition, than on the whole Inquisition. But is there kind of a history lesson in there, too, of the Inquisition itself?
Well, the wonderful thing about the film is that it interweaves the history of the Inquisition with these modern day stories. So it helps if you have no familiarity with the Inquisition. A lot of people, the only thing they know about the Inquisition is that Monty Python, the Inquisition, and you know, that fun song. And they don't really know what it's all about. And they don't really know that it was about finding heretics who had converted to Catholicism, but maybe were fake Catholics and were secretly practicing Judaism. And so we interweave exactly what the Inquisition was, how it worked, including some grisly things like how people were tortured and the kind of tortured, sort of the nuts and bolts of the Inquisition, and also the long-term impact of the Inquisition when you create a society of fear and people informing on each other and so on and so forth, and you have the fear of being burned at the stake, how that permeates the society. We interweave that with when we're telling the story of the Spanish Inquisition, we tell the story of Dorian Carvajal and her ancestors in Segovia to sort of bring a personal story to that history. And the same with the Portuguese Inquisition. When we explain that story, we tell the story of Carlos de Medeiros from Brazil, whose ancestor was one of the most persecuted women in the Portuguese Inquisition, Branca Dias, who fled to Brazil and was then, the Inquisition followed her family years later to Brazil and persecuted them there. And it's all in the National Archives in minute detail, because when they're torturing people, they had scribes and they wrote down not only every groan and every ooh and ah, but they wrote down all the testimonies against people and all of the testimonies of the accused. So they have so much detail. So we were really able to show Carlos, for example, those documents about his ancestors, to take him to Brazil, back to where his ancestors were from, to the sugar mill and to the home where they had a secret chapel or where they could practice in freedom their Judaism. And so it was really great to walk in their footsteps and to combine the history with the present day story and help them. Sometimes they said they knew more about their ancestors 500 years ago from the detailed testimonies than they did about their great-great-grandparents. The stories weren't passed down. So that was really special, was to be able to bring that history alive and to be able to walk in the footsteps with Doreen in Segovia. We walked in the ancient Jewish ghettos, the juderias, and she was literally touching the walls, you know, that her ancestors touched. So that was pretty fun.
So it sounds like once you did find the people and inform them of their background, and especially in the detail you're talking about, Hillary, it sounded like they reacted very positively to, as people do, to learning about their own roots and their own background. Have some of these people who were not Jews when you contacted them, do you know if they've converted back to Judaism and that kind of thing? Has it been a real reflowering of that?
Well, the people whose stories we told in the film, who we really featured, for example, Dorian Carvajal, who was raised Catholic, when we first started filming with her and telling her story, she was exploring her Jewish roots. And it was really sort of through exploring the history of her family. And as the sort of process went on and she sort of was embracing more of her family history, she did start exploring sort of what it might be to be Jewish today and what she was interested in taking with her. And so she did experiment with going to services and whether she would identify as a Jew or not, or whether she would be sort of a practicing Jew. And she wound up sort of deciding that she does identify as a Jewish person and maybe not actively religious, but that that's now part of her identity. And for example, Carlos, he discovered that he had this family history that some people in the family might have been aware, you know, usually one person in the family passes down the information from generation to generation. And many people were like, why do you want to talk about this? Let sleeping dogs lie. This is not our story. But he couldn't let it go, and he very much wanted to embrace his identity. And for him, it is not at all about being a practicing Jew, but he feels like he had his identity stolen away from his family, and he wants to embrace it. So we found with people that there's always people in the family that feel like this is don't stir up this history, and other people who embrace it. And people are on every end of the spectrum. Some people feel like they are returning to Judaism, reclaiming their Judaism, and very much actively start to practice the religion. Other people just like the connections to their history or their ancestry. And some people decide to identify as Jews. And so the film wasn't really about whether someone's going to return to Judaism or reclaim Judaism or become a practicing Jew. It's really about people connecting to their history, their roots, their ancestry, and to understanding how we got to where we are in the world today, and who we are and our identities, and that many people carry these dual identities, and that it makes us realize we're not all as different as we think. We have a lot of common roots that we've forgotten about.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about all that. I mean, obviously many of the original converts and their descendants married Catholics over the succeeding three or four centuries, right? So that their ancestry is very mixed, and I was wondering whether it caused an identity crisis for some people. But I can see that, you know, within an extended family, you know, there could be a mixed reaction to it, in some cases positive, in others not so much. But in the film, I did notice that a lot of the people interviewed said that they always felt some kind of, let's call it, dissonance with their Catholic identity if they were raised Catholic. And they felt somehow in almost like adopted children do, as if something just didn't feel right or fit, or that they fit in. And did that strike you too in these interviews in some cases?
Absolutely. It was a prominent experience for almost anyone. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Because if you've gone to the trouble to start researching your family history, to start asking questions, to start following the paper trail, there's something inside you that when someone tells you this for the first time, you say, oh, right, that makes sense to me. And then you want to follow the breadcrumbs. And so, you know, there's also been a lot of research in recent years about sort of the DNA that people carry over generations, of whether it's a historical trauma or, for example, the pain of dual identities. So that's sort of a new area of research that sort of also reflects what we discuss in the film, that people very much connect not just in an intellectual way to this history, but in a very physical, visceral way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes you realize that religions arise in places, you know, long ago when people didn't travel much, and the people in those places at that time have distinct characteristics which are genetic. And then those genes carry with them a personal identity that I think, you know, like you were just saying, transmits through the generations, even when the outward aspects of it become hidden or are unrealized. I mean, you see this all the time. One of my favorite shows, Henry Louis Gates' great TV show, Finding Your Roots. And all the time you see that, you know, let's say the guests who are actors, for example, turn out to have had actors in their distant family history who they didn't know about. And they go, oh, okay, that was like great-great-grandfather and great-great-grandmother, you know, were traveling minstrels or whatever, and that's where I get this. And they didn't know that. But it's so obvious time after time that the genes transmit through in a way that is unconscious to the people who are enacting those destinies, let's call it, you know, that are genetic in nature. So you said that the descendants can learn about their ancestors in public records in Spain, and that they're online now. So obviously these are in ancient Spanish, but they've been translated. I mean, so you can people in this country look up the Spanish archives from the Inquisition online now, or do you have to go to Spain, or what's that about?
Both. The Portuguese Inquisition has an incredible amount of files are online through the National Archives of Portugal, and the same for Spain, but they tend to be in, you know, in Portugal, they're in Portuguese and Spanish and Spain. But with Google Translate, there's so much that you can get a rough translation of, and then you can see what's sort of relevant and then take that to a translator if you don't speak, you know, Portuguese or Spanish. So we were really lucky in that so much has been digitized, especially, for example, Carlos de Medeiros' story, his ancestor Branca Diaz, all of the records were digitized. And so, you know, we could do a quick Google Translate, identify a few that were really important and relevant to the story, and then get help with a professional translator. And then with the ones in Madrid at the, you know, Archivo Nacional Histórico, we were really lucky in that Doreen Carvajal's ancestors, it's sort of one of the most famous cases of the Inquisition in Segovia. And so academics had already sort of pulled out those documents and translated them, and we were able to access them. But I mean, with archives around the world digitizing documents and with the translation tools available, it's never been easier.
That's great. You're listening to American Variety Radio. I'm your host, Court Lewis. We're talking with Hilary Klotz-Steinman, who is the producer of a documentary film called Children of the Inquisition. And we're talking about the distant descendants of the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisitions back in the 1400s, 1500s, into the early 1600s, I guess. And these people have been dispersed all around the world. And in many cases, the descendants don't realize that they came from, in particular, from Jews in those countries who had been forced to convert in order to save their lives, or had left in order to save their lives from the Inquisition. So, Hilary, are the people who are making this discovery, either through your film or in other, you know, just in their own ways, are they beginning to connect with each other, not just in Spain, but around the world on social media and virtual meeting sites like Zoom and so on?
Well, this phenomenon of, you know, Anusim, or you know, conversos who are discovering their lost or hidden roots, is worldwide. And there are, today there's a Society of Crypto Judaism, there are conferences, there are meetings, there are websites, and people are connecting through Ancestry.com or you name it, any of the DNA websites, and people are connecting to distant cousins. And when we were working on the film, the director, Joe Lovett, was contacted by someone who's like, we're a match for our DNA. We go back, you know, X number of generations, and people are connecting around the world. Doreen Carvajal was able to connect to a distant relative in New Mexico, whose family was a product of the Spanish Inquisition that fled to Mexico and then came up into New Mexico, and she was able to meet with him. And in the film, we have the story of them meeting, and they look at each other and they go, cousin, you know, and they sort of connect how their family histories intersect. And so it's been really wonderful. And even in my own family, I have a cousin in Chicago who, again, we always thought, you know, we're Ashkenazi Jews from Poland, Porsztel Jews, and she's been doing research, and lo and behold, my sisters were right. We have Sephardic heritage as well, because with the paths of migration, Jews from the Iberian Peninsula around the time of the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition did also travel not just via the ocean, via the Mediterranean to parts around the world. They also traveled into Eastern Europe. So the Ashkenazi Jews and the Sephardic Jews are not as distinct and separate as people think. The paths of migration overlap over and over again through time. And now it's become the kind of thing where, you know, academics are studying this, and it's not just sort of stories and conjecture. A lot of people with DNA, with records, can really trace these paths of migration and these family roots. And you get wonderful stories around the country. And there's a woman in Miami who's written a book about her 10th great grandmother, and it's all about her Sephardic history and her crypto-Judaic roots, and the stories are wonderful.
Yeah, this story of this particular diaspora is not so different from other stories of religious or political exodus throughout history. I mean, even the pilgrims fleeing religious persecution in England to come to the New World, right? So did you get a feeling of that kind of sort of universality to the story in the end? I mean, or was it somehow specific and different to you from other similar stories?
You know, over the years that we were working on the film, this history just resonated with things happening in current events over and over and over again. And if you think about what happened in Syria just a couple of years ago with the forced migration of people fleeing war and people being accepted or rejected in different countries, and the trauma of the people fleeing, that very much spoke to us. So in terms of forced migrations, sadly, they happen over and over again. And how do people move forward in the world? And how do you move forward with dual identities? And so it's been very interesting to us, because the lessons from the Spanish and Portuguese Inquisition repeat themselves. And we can find a lot in our modern history that resonates. And one of the big things from this project that was so interesting to us is that when you look at the world today and you look in the Middle East and you look at Jewish and Muslim relationships, you think that Jews and Muslims have always been enemies. But around the time of the expulsion of the Jews from Spain and Portugal, who gave the Jews safe harbor? The Sultan of the Ottoman Empire, who said, come here, because he said, we have the same shared enemy, the Catholics. Your enemy, is my enemy, so we're friends. And the Jews were able to live and thrive in the Ottoman Empire for 500 years relatively peacefully and have religious freedom. They weren't quite first-class citizens, but they very much were able to live and prosper. They were all considered people of the same book. And so, that history has sort of been forgotten with recent history. And those are important things to remind us that the way we see the world today isn't necessarily the way that the world has always been. It may be very recent 20th century history. So that really shifts your perspective.
Hillary, out of all of that, it sounds like a fascinating process, the whole thing. But is there one thing that stands out to you, just kind of briefly, one particular event or experience that really was the most interesting part of the whole thing for you that really stands out?
My favorite part of the film was that we got to travel with our storytellers back to where their ancestors were from, and they got to walk in the footsteps of their ancestors, whether it was literally putting on the robe of the Bishop of Segovia for Doreen, or Carlos walking into the ruins of the sugar mill of his ancestor, Branca Diaz. It was so special to be able to get them that tangible taste of that history.
Yeah, that would really be something. Well, I see why you're a filmmaker. I mean, these are fascinating stories to explore, and you can do it as a profession and hopefully make a living doing it and travel around the world and meet interesting people and follow in detail stories that you wouldn't otherwise know about. And for those who'd like to see the film, it's not yet available on demand since it's still on the film festival circuit, but it is a documentary film that's making the rounds, and people who'd like to watch the film can request a virtual or an in-person screening by emailing to info@childrenoftheinquisition.com. You're going to have to figure out how to spell Inquisition. info@childrenoftheinquisition.com. Or you can fill out a request form on the film's website, which again is childrenoftheinquisition.com. And when you go there, click on the Host a Screening tab, and that'll take you to it. And you can see more of the documentary films that my guest Hillary Steinman has produced at her own website, which is hillaryklotzsteinman.com. Now I'm going to spell that. So it's Hillary with one L, and then K-L-O-T-Z, and then Steinman, Steinman.com. Well, Hillary, thank you so much for being on with us in American Variety. This has really been fascinating, and I look forward to seeing the film in full myself. You sent it to me as a link I can look at, but I'm going to go look at it when we finish the show. But it's been great talking with you and hearing the story of Children of the Inquisition. It's a kind of a universal story in many ways, so I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I hope you enjoy the film. It takes you around the globe and through time and really collapses history to see how the links from the past are still shaping our world today. So I really appreciate you having me, and I hope people check out the film, childrenoftheinquisition.com.
Yep, it's a great story. So thanks again to you, and thanks to all of you out there for listening. I hope you'll tune in again next week, same time, same place, for more American Variety Radio.